Mikey and Rin Eden, yum.
A show about the serious and not so serious parts of our edible world. Let's eat.
Buongiorno, everyone. Welcome to Mikey and Rin Eat In. This is your favorite chefy, Mikey.
And this is Rindog.
How you doing, Rindog?
Oh my God, I'm great.
Bellissimo.
Grazie.
Grazie. Oh yeah, we were in Italy one time and we were, this is pre-baby, and we were having like a picnic on the beach and we had wine and we had fresh fish and fruit and all these things. And Rin was like, maybe you should go get another bottle of wine. And so, and I was like feeling like already a little wind up and I was feeling pretty, like we're like 3 or 4 days into the trip. I was like, my Italian is fucking great. So
basically bilingual at this
I'm
point.
I'm super bilingual.
Yeah.
And so I walk into a little convenience store sort of shop and there's this like very attractive shop owner and she's talking to someone else. And I just walk in and they look at me and I go, grazie. Which means,
thank you.
Thank you. So I walked into the store and I said, thank you. And they were like, fuck. And I just, and then the rest of the time I just spoke dumb American English because I was like, oh, I blew it. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Mikey and Rin Eat In.
Yes.
A show about food.
Yes.
Fun.
Yes.
Farts.
Yes. Sometimes fertility.
Fertility, too. All the F words. Every once in a while, we have a show. What are we calling them? Primary colors.
Sure. Yep. Yeah.
Where we like focus on one thing.
Mm-hmm. And do a little bit of a deep dive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can you tell me what this week's?
Oh my good gracious. I would love to.
Yeah.
This week, well, we had a milestone.
Yes.
We had a huge milestone.
We're still fresh from this milestone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Still basking in the glow of this milestone.
Afterglow.
Our baby, who is 12 months old,
Rigo,
consumed his very first pizza.
So I'm just gonna I always tell the story that both of my grandmothers died within like a month of each other, and my dog, and losing my dog was such a bigger moment for me than my grandmothers. RIP grandmas, you were great, but my dog was with me every day. This week my son said dada. Oof. And him eating a bit of pizza last night was bigger. Affected me more than him saying dada, which is my name.
Well, for a trained chef and deep, passionate pizza lover.
Not deep dish pizza, but no. Deep, passionate
pizza
lover.
This is, it's a big moment.
Yeah.
It's a really big moment.
It's a big moment.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons, well, there's certain things that I think about that were like on some level the kind of dumb motivators for me to want to have a kid. One of them is teaching a kid how to ski. Mm-hmm. And then like one of the other ones was very much eating pizza with a child.
And yeah,
like
I can't believe we've waited a year, frankly.
And mostly I think about it when mom is at work or something like that. And Riggy and I sneak out and eat secret pizza. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to do an episode all about pizza today.
Sure.
Pizza, I discovered.
Oh, so hold on.
From the Latin word. Well, I'm just going to insert this. From a Latin word, picea, P-I-C-E-A, which means the blackening of crust by fire.
Whoa.
I thought that was so cool. And I definitely want my superhero name to be picea.
Spell it again.
P-I-C-E-A.
Oof.
Picea, right?
God, should we and change can you imagine name?
Having, I know, right? Having like a charred cape or something that you wear.
Kind of constantly embering. That's dope.
Yeah.
So what we do sometimes with these episodes is we each come with like 5 or 6 facts. And, and it's very fun to see. So I started the morning because Rinny cooks breakfast usually. And so I sat at the table with our baby and I was on the computer looking for my facts. And the type of sites that I was looking for my facts have like Comic Sans font. And like, they're like, like the dumbest, they're like, the biggest pizza anyone ever shoved up their ass was, blah. You know, just stupid stuff. And then I look over like 45 minutes later and Corinne is reading a brief from a study, like from a journal article that has like a hypothesis, thesis, what, and I'm just like, are we, I don't even know how to describe a journal article. So great. She does some real research. I do basically dumb guy research. It's like, what's some cool stuff about pizza?
But welcome to Mikey and Ren Eden, right?
That's our show.
I mean, Mikey is the deliverer of fart jokes. Not that I don't have a good one up my sleeve every now and again, right? Up
your pant leg.
It's so true.
What is the pant leg but the sleeve of the lower half?
And you know, so Mikey trained chef.
True.
I am an acupuncturist, an herbalist, and you know, I often think about food as like, ooh, what's the nerdy nutritional facts about
right.
this food, right?
And you also think about like when we're planning Riggy's, like our baby's food, mm-hmm. you're like protein, starch.
Yeah, what's the most nutrient dense meal that I can make?
Folic acid, right. And I'm just kind of like, what's in the fridge? What's going to be fun? And what's easy?
I do also think about, like, for instance, the meal we just had this morning, right?
Yeah.
We had some black beans with jalapenos and onions,
yep.
A little cassava flour tortilla. And then I made this salad. And the reason I made the salad was, yes, for nutrients, but I knew that it'd be super bright,
yeah.
really pretty to look at. And I thought that it would like that would kind of draw him in.
Mm-hmm. It did.
He liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 65% of it.
Yes.
And then the last 35% he threw it on the floor.
Correct. While staring me directly in the eyes.
He loves that move.
He loves that move.
This was so good. Do you like it, Riggy? And then he looks at you and goes, just steely eyed, and just drops it down to the floor and says, what are you gonna do about that?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
And you know what I'm gonna do? Nothing. I'm going to stare right back at you.
Yeah, no reaction.
You're not getting any reaction out of
me. Fuck you. Think you can manipulate this situation already? You year old. Okay. Speaking of fun.
Yes.
In front of me.
Oh, yeah.
I have a slice of pizza, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for eating on the microphone. I'll try to do it off microphone, but whatever. So we went to Scotty's pizza parlor last night in Portland. Real ones? No. It is... very good pizza.
Delicious.
Extremely good pizza.
Fermented, a long ferment, yummy. Oh my God, it's so good.
Totally. And so we brought home one of their DeFino pizzas, which is like they only make, I think, 40 of them a day or something like that. It's a square pizza, but it's not like deep dish. It's like a regular kind of thin crust, and then it's burnt along the edges, kind of like a Chicago style pizza. But it's got aged mozzarella, maybe smoked, but I think aged sauce. It's just super easy. Fresh, they give you fresh basil, like a garlic oil, and then parm to put on top after you heat it up. I mean, I can't go through a whole pizza episode without eating a slice of pizza.
Yeah. And the pizza that we had last night, Riggsy's first pizza, was it's so beautiful. Mm. They do this. It's a white pie.
I don't want to stop you. Technically, his first pizza
was the pepperoni.
Of pepperoni that I got. I gave him a little bit of it.
That's true.
Sorry, continue.
And then we got a family white pie that had mozzarella.
Sounded more racist than it needed to. A white family pie.
Mozzarella,
mm-hmm.
ricotta cheese, some like caramelized onions.
Yep. Lemon.
And then a sesame crust. There was sesame kind of sprinkled.
But not on the crust.
No, like in the crotch between the between the crust and the actual pizza part.
Okay, so the outer edge of the crust, I found out, is called the – it looks like cornichon, but it's cornicione.
Oh.
Cornicione or end crust. So that's the outside of the crust.
Oh.
This is crust, cheese – it's the inflection point right there. I would call it maybe the eyelid.
Sure.
Something like that. Or the taint.
Taint the crust.
Yeah. But they sprinkled sesame seeds right there, which I don't know that I've really seen that as a location for people to really apply like a big part of a big ingredient.
It was just delicious.
Because
pizza is exquisite.
It's going to dry out too much on the crust. And in order for it to adhere to the crust, you have to probably egg wash or something in the crust.
Sure.
And then in the cheese, it's just going to get kind of lost. So this area kind of allows it to really like pop.
And it's kind of a barren desert. that area, right? I mean, it's like, because usually there's, I mean, yes, there's cheese, but it's like you kind of can't get the toppings all the way to the end there.
And if you do, it's going to like steam the crust a little too much.
Yeah. And so it's just, it's brilliant. It's,
there's,
it's the perfect place.
I'm taking
a
bite.
Mm.
Whoa.
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 Would you call it kind of, well, I guess it's not margarita because there's no.
It's kind of in the margarita zone. It's like a.
In the
it's
world.
It's cut like a tavern style because it's square. I don't know. It's just like the best pizza. It's so good. It's all like it's not like ooey gooey sloppy.
Yeah.
It's like the whole thing has like structure to it.
Yeah.
Which I just think is my favorite kind of pizza.
Totally.
I want it to kind of hold up. I want the cheese. And I also the sauce is like applied in dollops.
Mm-hmm.
Not really spread out so that the whole thing kind of stays dry except for where the sauce is. It's unbelievable. I will say that we should have done this before we recorded the show, but I did some work for a pizza company that will go unnamed, but it rhymes with pizza butt. And this was a really long time ago. And I was actually working for a company that supplied cheese to them. But there was this pizza, all these pizza people from the company, and they were talking about specific parts of the pizza. Like, there was a name for the like direct center and then the space around that, like the blast radius.
Fine.
And then all the things. And so there probably is the anatomy of a pizza somewhere that's like in depth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love so anyways, that. Do you want to go first with some facts or you want me to? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You should go first.
Okay, cool. Let's just start with a big fact. Something like 17% or around 1 in 5 restaurants in the U.S. pizza is a pizza
have
spot.
Pizza on their menu. Oh, no, is a pizza place. Spot.
Well, that's a good question, actually. Does that mean they just have pizza or they call themselves a pizzeria? It's probably less if it's strictly a pizzeria.
Right, right.
But so the stat that I saw, again, I'm Comic Sans unresearched. There were so many grammatical errors and misspellings on these sites. A lot of them also, I will say, were pizza restaurants that were like, here's 30 facts about pizza.
Right.
Sure. And a lot of them had the same shit. It was like, the most expensive pizza in the world is $12,000 and has caviar on it. So that's a dumb fact that is unchecked.
But I mean, it is pretty ubiquitous.
It's a universal food.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's some version, right?
Everywhere.
Of like a bread.
Yeah.
And toppings.
For sure.
You know?
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm like the most traveled person in the world, but I've been to a lot of different countries and continents, and every one of them has a version of pizza. Mm-hmm. Japan has like, remember pizza that we had there?
Yeah.
And it had like mayonnaise on it and different things. It was wild. South America, like every third shop is a pizza spot. Mm. Like I remember being in Central and South America and it's different pizza. Like it definitely, it's not like what I would call pizza, but it was like flatbread and, you know, toppings, melted cheese. It's just like, I mean, think it's like a sandwich. It's the perfect meal. It has everything and you can top it with anything you want.
Right.
Of course it's going to go everywhere. And it's just, and you know, so some of the things that I was seeing, you know, were kind of like where different things happened and how they grew and, you know, when they started.
Is Napoli the birthplace of pizza?
Well, they talked about, so there was like all this evidence where ancient Greeks and Romans were eating something like pizza.
Yeah.
But what the thing, the inflection point or the place where they really say that when pizza became pizza, not just like topped bread, was tomatoes.
Yeah.
So in Napoli was when they first started putting like tomato sauce on it and then making something that we would like totally identify as pizza. So Napoli is like the spot. And like when you're in Naples or around that area, like they are 100% like this is their claim to fame.
Right.
And I would say that like the modern pizza, like they make a different pizza than we're kind of used to. They often put an egg in the center of it, which is dope. And then they're, you know, they have that really bubbly, really, really hot, you know, really, really hot oven. So then it gets kind of blistered on the edges, you know, and then it's like America kind of did interesting things with pizza, you know.
Don't we do interesting things some, with everything?
Yeah, some good stuff. Right. Interesting.
Interesting.
I mean, you know, there's obviously frozen pizza.
Yeah.
Conveyor belt pizza, all the different things. And I'm not shading any of these things. Like some of the, like pizza is the best. Like we have a meat freezer downstairs, quote unquote, has a lot of meat in it. arguably more pizza than me. Right. Because I'll buy a pizza. I'll buy enough pizza for 10 people when it's just the two of us. And then I freeze it. Mm-hmm. And it's the best reheat. Like, it's the, how do you say that? It's the food that is the closest to its original on a reheat from frozen.
Yeah.
I think it's like soup, maybe arguably that's the best one. But pizza is like, if you reheat it correctly.
Which is?
I have two different methods. One is I've really been liking the air fryer.
Yeah.
And I will say I put it on like, you know, air fryer or like convection bake really, really hot. And I just do it really quickly. And then in the middle kind of, I'll pour a little bit of broth or water into the bottom of the pan. Just a real quick thing so that it kind of just like steams it just a touch. Hmm. The other way to do it. So this is, there's two methods to this one. Cast iron pan. And you put it in, you know, right side up. So topping side up. Mm-hmm. And then you just, and then you put it in pretty hot and you cover it with another cast iron pan. Mm. So that's one that people have kind of loved. Another one that I've heard from people is the other way. You put it topping side down.
Whoa.
In a cast iron pan. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm basically like convection oven real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it keeps like, holds the integrity.
Okay.
I feel like I've been talking a lot and eating less than I should be.
Take a bite, bro.
Mute the microphone.
When I thought about pizza, because my favorite kind of pizza is a sourdough pizza. And so I wanted to just dive a little bit more into that. I love the taste of sourdough. Like, a pizza for me is a thin crust that's charred and also is really tangy. My favorite pizza place in Portland has closed. It was called Handsome Pizza, and it was so handsome. It was just like, it's such a joy to eat. I think Scotty's is my new favorite.
I'm back.
I will say.
I am Handsome Pizza.
But sourdough.
And we battle a little bit about sourdough.
Yeah.
I like sourdough a lot.
Yeah.
I just think it has its place. For me, it's like, I'm like, sourdough bread, great. We have a bakery that we love in town that makes everything sourdough. Mm-hmm. So like sourdough croissants, sourdough cookies and things. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, it just, it's goes too far for me.
But sourdough pizza.
I'm good with sourdough pizza. Yeah. I don't need it.
Yeah.
I'd rather not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like it.
So, I mean, Scotty's, I will say that it kind of gave me some of that.
It's giving.
Some of that sourdough. And I guess maybe it's just because it's like fermentation. A long ferment or something. I don't know.
I mean, I just think it, for me more, it's like it's a glutinous structure that kind of is created in that. And I think there is a little bit of a kind of a sourdough edge that gives. It's, mm-hmm. For me, it's more of a sourdough texture.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It doesn't read as sourdough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sourdough, basically you're fermenting the flour rather than adding a yeast,
mm-hmm.
right? And so one of the things, so it's cool because there's, you know, I wouldn't have known that there was necessarily research out there on sourdough, and more specifically sourdough bread, but kind mm-hmm. of same. But in 2018, Food Science and Nutrition, that journal,
you know, that old,
that
old nutcase.
Chestnut.
That's what I was looking for. That old nut chest. That old chestnut.
But they, you know, were doing some research on sourdough and really found that like that, the process of fermentation, that process of sourdough, that process of fermentation, it actually makes the whatever vitamins and minerals are in the flour, it makes them more available.
Like supercharged? Like
makes them more digestible.
Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of pre-digesting?
Yeah. It's like breaking down this, you know, sort of like gluten matrix, right? And it's...
I just took a sip of water. And when I put the water bottle down, it splashed onto my fucking pizza. Not much, just like a drop, but come on.
But yeah, it's sort of, you know, there's, I think about like this, I'm like wrapping my hands together right now, but I think about this tight little structure that's sort of breaking down a little bit and then making, you know, the iron and the mm-hmm. phosphorus and the, what else, like selenium, like all mm-hmm. these things that are in wheat, making them more available for your body to digest.
Yeah, I was thinking of it kind of like that it was like melting away the husk a little bit. You know, like,
melting off the outside of a good way to think
the candy shell on an M&M.
Sure, sure.
Or, side note, we were watching the morning show and they were talking about black gold. No, what was it called?
I can't remember. Black.
Ivory.
Ivory.
Black ivory coffee. It's the most expensive coffee in the world. And it's going to go ahead and be elephant fermented, which means that they have elephants eat the coffee beans and then their stomach acid like kind of boils it and ferments it. And then they shit it out, wash it, and then you buy the coffee.
No, thank you.
Oh, come on, dumb.
No, thank you.
Rich people. What is wrong with you?
No, thank
Sorry,
you.
Sorry, go.
And then also it's like activating enzymes. We just talked about those the other day. But activating enzymes like what's the one that helps you break down? Amylase that helps you break down.
I was actually going to say amylase.
Yeah, helps you break down.
I know some things.
carbohydrates. So you are just like digesting it better.
Right.
Because it, like, to your point, it sort of is almost like this pre-digested experience.
Yeah, it's like sprouted blank.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I would say, like, we have, again, the baked good spot that we eat a lot of sourdough from. I feel great after I eat it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel, like, heavy and, like, weighed down afterwards. I mean, I do because I eat so much of it. I'm physically weighed down, but emotionally not so much.
Yeah.
That's good. That's awesome. All right, dumb facts. The Hawaiian pizza was invented where?
France.
Canada. Of course, those boring fucks. All you got is hockey and maple syrup up there, and then also Hawaiian pizza. Thanks, assholes. Yeah, running a pizzeria in Ontario, Canada. I don't really care what the rest of his story is. Yeah, but he made Hawaiian pizza, which actually, it gets so much of a bad rap. Pretty delicious.
Oh, sure. The you've got sweet, salty, sour, like, yum.
Wet. The key part that fucks it up is that people put wet pineapple on there.
Right.
You got to, like, pre-dry or, like, you know, cook the pineapple a little bit, then put it on.
Yeah.
Then it's awesome. It's super good. I'll do one more just because I've got a million of these. What is the most amount of pizza that any person has eaten in a week? This guy, Christian Dumitru. Of Romania ate how many pounds of pizza in a week to set the world record?
200 pounds?
200 pounds in a week. He surpassed Kobayashi, the guy who's the that main, like the dude that eats everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, I thought that was pretty rad.
Wow.
I don't eat that much. I've gained that much weight from eating pizza over a lifetime.
The other thing pretty cool about sourdough, and, you know, we're talking pizza, so sourdough pizza, is that this, the process of sourdough is also, has a lower glycemic index than its non-fermented friends.
Yep.
And so, you know, the glycemic index is basically how much your blood glucose raises. I think it's 2 hours after you eat something.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I ever knew this.
Yeah, so it's you know, how much do you get that spike in your blood glucose? I'm pretty sure it's 2 hours.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that.
But, I won't.
So let's just say after you eat, how much you get that, how much of a spike you get. And so, yeah, so lower glycemic index. And then if you think about pizza, so this was specifically looking at bread.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about pizza, you're also pairing with it protein. Because you've got cheese and fat, because you've got cheese. but you've got protein, fat. Let's say you drizzle some olive oil on it too. So then you're slowing down the – you're slowing it down even more, right? So it's – I don't know. I just I never really thought about pizza. You think about it as the perfect food, right? I've never necessarily thought about it like that. But I'm like, oh, actually, you're getting – you know, this, if you're eating a sourdough pizza, you're getting this like bioavailability of nutrients.
Okay.
You're getting this kind of slow digestion, this like not crazy blood glucose spike. And then you're getting some protein, you're getting some fat. And like, I don't know, kind of is the perfect food.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I mean, the thing for me is that it's the perfect vehicle. Because it's, I mean, a crust is a crust, like, you know, a crust is a wish that your dream makes. What? A crust is a dream that your wish heart makes. A crust can be made out of.
A dream that your belly makes.
A dream that your belly makes.
Yeah.
And a crust can be anything.
Right.
I did a whole bunch of work around like cauliflower crust stuff when it was first popping. But I mean, yeah, it can be wheat. It can be anything. And then it's just the idea that you can. Like,
cornmeal.
If you're thinking properly about, you know, your toppings and kind of how you want to balance things out. It's amazing. I mean, for me, it's just the salt, potentially sweet, richness. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting acidity, like all of the things kind of in one bite, if you take the perfect bite, which that's a whole nother thing. Which direction, how do you eat your pizza? From which direction?
Right.
Are you a roller?
Right.
I've seen monsters that eat it crust side first. I've
seen monsters that eat it with a fork and a knife.
Donald Trump, looking at you. But, you know, my idea of the perfect bite, I think, is, and so I sometimes roll this way, like I'm pinching it so that like the toppings go inside. Mm-hmm. I think that the perfect bite, if you can, it's all about how sloppy your toppies are.
Yep.
If you got sloppy toppies, not so good. But if you have a little bit less sloppy toppies, roll it the other way. So
that your tongue gets the toppy first.
Yes. So it's like flavor delivery. You want the salty, yummy things to hit your tongue first.
Yep.
So if you can kind of fold it the outer direction, then it's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Dumb facts. 1835, Alexandre Dumas, author of The Three Musketeers.
Mm.
He went to Napoli and he wrote that he noticed that the Napoli poor ate nothing but watermelon during the summer. And then pizza during the winter. Mm. And he adopted this as a diet thing in his lifestyle. I don't know where I guess he was probably from France. Just judging by his name, it sounds Francy fancy. That's so Francy. But I mean, watermelon during the summer, pizza during the winter.
Wow.
Not so poor. That's a rich life.
Delightful.
Yeah, fucking awesome.
Well, and it's brilliant, right? The watermelon is like really cooling.
So obviously,
if you get hot summers, then you've got your perfect food there.
And you're probably canning tomatoes, or someone's canning tomatoes all summer. And then so winter, you get to enjoy the summer on a hot, steamy, lovely pizza.
Yes.
I don't know. It's the Italians just know how to do food. I mean, I know the climate also makes it so they can be eating the food that they're eating.
Sure.
But it's like, I don't know. I married you because I wanted to not only express my love for you, but I wanted to have some, I wanted to parlay a little Mikey into the Italian culture. I've been kind of cosplaying as Italian my whole life. And we gave our son an Italian name, Rigo.
Yes, we did.
And yeah, it's so fun. And pizza is just, it's a food that's been there for me. I don't really remember. My early memories of pizza were like, babysitting, my parents would be like, you get to order a pizza tonight. And so my sister and I would order a pizza, and it was usually Domino's or Pizza Hut. And oh my God.
Pizza Hut's so good.
Pizza Hut's so good.
So good.
Anybody who wants to like talk shit about the main pizza companies, Pizza Hut will rock your world.
Yeah.
It's basically fried pizza.
Yeah. It's funny because we didn't order a ton of pizza. I have my favorite pizza spot where I grew up. Pavone's. Shout out to Pavone's.
Salty
pizza. Super yum, good. Yum, yum.
Salty cheese. Love it.
So good. But I do have memories of my grandfather making pizza. And he,
oh, yeah. This, you would describe it in detail.
Well, he would do a crust, and it'd be super thin.
He made this crust.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that. I would imagine he did not.
But it looked doughy.
Oh.
Like it was a dough. Yeah. It wasn't
For sure. No. It wasn't.
DiGiorno or whatever.
No. Okay. God, no.
Yeah.
No, that would be like.
I mean, I know.
Apocryphal in my house.
Apocryphal.
Yeah. Not the right word. that would have been.
Blasphemous.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
I'm teaching the sciencey one word.
It totally came out wrong.
You're welcome.
So yeah, no, but it was like doughy. He'd spread it.
Okay.
Out onto
would he chuck it in the air? Would he toss it?
I never saw Ludi toss.
Okay.
He had like really
chubby sausage fingers, you know?
Maybe the best fingers for tossing.
Yeah, because you do have more surface area, right?
Yeah, it's like hippo teeth. It's just going to like, it's not going to go through. Like if you have bony, spindly, you know, Slenderman fingers, it's just going to poke right through. Like, you know, a little bird's nest.
And then he would just put some sauce and he would do locatelli cheese on it. Like maybe a little bit of mozzarella, but he'd put so much locatelli cheese on it, which we've talked about on the show before.
That needs to be our first official cheese sponsor.
I know. Haven't ever gotten it, you need to have it in your house. Like we put it on everything. We put it on our soups. And it's just like so salty, so sharp. It's so delicious.
It's so good. It's unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
But I think the thing that was really good about it was that he used a good quality olive oil.
Yeah.
He used really good quality sauce, which my grandma probably made. And then he used the locatelli cheese and probably a good mozzarella too. And so it was just like super simple, but it was so yummy. And yeah, so that's
kind of
my-
good. I mean, my family, you know, we were trash. Well, everybody was trash pizza people for a long time, I think. Unless you lived in New York City or something.
Right.
It was just like, yeah, we had, I mean, I don't even remember really having slice spots. It was kind of like, it was just like.
Yeah, in Colorado Springs in the 80s, like it probably hadn't.
There was a place called Luigi's that was really, really good, I remember. But I would go to New York City and that was where I'd, you know, get my dollar slices or whatever. And I was like, that's pizza, you know.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, I just feel like the idea of good pizza and not fancy pizza, just good pizza has kind of, everybody's understood what that actually means.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a tough nut to crack. Pizza's also, we've discussed this before. I think it's the food that the worst pizza is still pretty good. Like, I don't know what we call that, but like the best pizza and the worst pizza, there's the least amount of distance there. Mm-hmm. Like you have bad mac and cheese or something. Ooh, that can be pretty bad. Like the worst pizza I've ever had, like roller skating rink pizza or something like that, Stouffer's.
Pizza that we used to be served in elementary school.
Still not that bad.
Yeah, it was bad. But it was bad. I ate it.
Oh my God.
Happily.
Well, we had pizza day and it was like, I think it was Little Caesars that they'd bring us.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
We had proper Little Caesars pizza.
Oh no.
Yeah. We also had school pizza.
Yeah,
but, school pizza. But the Little Caesars days, yeah, those were, oh my God, that was so good. Loved it so much. All right. Do you want to go or you want me to go? Oh, no, here, I have one more left, so great. I'll just do that. The risk of some cancers are reduced if pizza is consumed once a week. Researchers from which country?
Italy.
Obviously. have claimed eating pizza regularly reduced the risk of developing esophageal cancer by what percentage? It's Italy, scientists.
2.5%.
60%. 59.8%. Really, Italy? 60%? Colon cancer fell by 26% and mouth cancer by 34%. Uh-huh. How the fuck did you do this study, guys?
What were your quartiles?
That's a word we just learned about. Esophageal cancer down by 60% with pizza. So I'm starting a pizza encapsulation company where I'm going to sell powdered pizza and there's going to be no more esophageal cancer. You're welcome, everybody.
Well, what's interesting is to think about the research that's done in Italy, right? And maybe it was done in like Napoli specifically.
Sure. By Captain Pizza and science friends.
Well, but there's a very specific way that they're making the pizza, right? They're using really high quality you know, San Marzano tomatoes every time, right?
Right.
They're probably using a really high quality olive oil, which is like, that's kind of the foundation of a lot of the Mediterranean diet that we know is like really anti-inflammatory. And so, you know, I don't understand how that study was actually done.
That's a wild
statistic.
Yeah. I think that we'd be more people would be talking about them. People are talking about this. I'm hearing this. But yeah. And it's like you're saying though is, I can't remember which book I read this in, but they were just talking about kind of the Americanization of food around the world. Mm-hmm. And the sad part is that Americanization goes hand in hand. Like you could just say cheapening. So the industrialization of food around the world they just are showing like all the American symptoms of bad diet. So, you know, our rates of diabetes, our rates of cancer, everywhere around the world, like in the developing countries, once they have access to more expensive food, which is American food, not more expensive food, imported food from us, all of those rates go up.
Right.
So I was just, I was, one of the things I was seeing about in Italy is the amount of like Domino's and Pizza Huts and things like that are in Italy. Mm. And I'm just, and people there think it's all, like, I'm not, I'm just generalizing here, but there was all these like people talking about it. Like, we love this because it is American culture, because it is pop, because it's whatever. And like, I just think about their fucking Nona that's like in their house, like making them pasta and pizza that's unbelievable. And they're like, nah, I don't want that. I want the garbage dog shit from Domino's.
But that's the point too, right? Is that all of that food, because it's so much higher in sodium and fat and sugar, it's like having a drug.
Sure.
Right? You've had this one version of it.
Yeah.
And then you get the steroid version of it. Sure. And it's like, ooh, well, of course I want that.
And it's like having the original version of it is medicine, is having medicine. The other one's having drugs, right? It's like if you're making something with whole foods, with whole ingredients, with local seasonal ingredients, or things that have just been raised properly, you're not fucking with them a ton.
Right.
Like that, then anything could be good for you. So yeah, maybe the Italian pizza, like they're not talking about eating delivery pizza
is going to
drop your esophageal cancer by 700%.
Of course not. Yeah, and the I just want to piggyback off of the little study that you found. I'm not going to read necessarily the research. If you want to look it up, you can download the PDF. But I just want to read the title.
Oh. This is exactly the way that I like to do scientific research. Just the title, please. Thank you.
The title is, Does Pizza Consumption Favor an Improved Disease Activity in Rheumatoid Arthritis?
Oh.
Isn't that dope?
Like
that's
fun.
The fact that Italian, and again, it's an Italian, it's an Italian research study, but the fact that that scientists were sitting around and thinking, pizza? RA?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's do it. And they, again, found improvements if you're eating like half a pizza at least one time a week.
Yeah.
And they did. It just feels like a wild
thing to say what the thing is that you should be eating, right?
Sure.
Because it's like, okay, let's say it improved it by 17%. Well, would eating like eggplants with olive oil. Like I'm trying to think of the healthiest thing I could think of. Like, oh, broccolini and kale. That would actually done 27%. But Dr. Pizza over here was like, we should just feed them pizza, right?
Yeah, it was. I just love that.
That's fantastic.
Even a thought.
Yeah,
that we could research that. Right.
I like the idea of pizza medicine. It's the if I was going to specialize in medical school, it would be pizza medicine.
For sure.
For sure.
Yeah. But, you know, let's really, again, like go back to it potentially being the perfect food. You add in vegetables on top of your pizza.
Sure.
And then you're getting like all of this antioxidant and, you know, more vitamins and minerals. It's like, I don't know.
I'm on board.
I'm on board too.
I mean, this is the thing. If you think about the foods that are the most like foods that exist everywhere in the world, noodles, like kind of some sort of noodle, pasta experience. Something like a sandwich, taco, sort of, you know, something that's kind of a handheld sort of thing. Pizza for sure. What else we got? Soup. I mean, these are all things that the reason that they've lasted for so long and spread so wide is that they can encapsulate, they can be a full meal.
Yeah.
You can get everything in there from any season.
They can be affordable.
They can be, super affordable for sure. Yeah, like I think about skewered meats and things like that. I mean, we're obviously talking about depending on where you are in the world, but like pizza for me, it just has, it's not only is it the perfect food potentially ingredient-wise, but also texturally, sensorily.
Yeah.
Like I can have crunch, I can have like that kind of rich, proteiny saltiness. I can have sweetness of the crust. I also like to dip mine in blue cheese dressing. It's like it can be the naughtiest food. And also the kind of like most, I don't know. It's like, for me, it's like, what food do I want to eat when I'm devastatingly depressed? And what food do I want to eat when I just won the spelling bee? Pizza. It's pizza in both categories.
You're talking about improving physical health and psychological health, right?
For sure.
Like, I think that there's so many parts to nutrition. And one of them is, we've talked about this so much, but what's going to really feed your soul?
Right.
And
I think
pizza does it.
For sure. And the conclusion of this podcast is that pizza is medicine. It's the only medicine, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call.
You want decreased chances of rheumatoid arthritis, or you want to improve the RA that you already have? Pizza.
Pizza. You esophageal cancer?
Pizza.
Gone with pizza. I've just called my mom's oncologist for her multiple kinds of cancer. I've just told them to only infuse her with pizza from now on.
That's
it. It's perfect. Do, do, ba, da, da,
ba, ba, da, ba, ba, da, I knew it was coming. Da, I knew de, it was de, coming. De, de, de,
de. Everybody's excited about the pizza quiz-a-thon. All right, we got a quiz-a-thon. We only have this is a 3-question one that I actually wrote while we were recording.
Oh, great. So, I'm glad that you were super present.
It's a duper. It's super researched.
Great.
Okay, pizza quiz-a-thon. If you guys don't know about the quiz-a-thons on our show, it's a Mikey quiz-a-thon. I create them. I'm the only one that knows the answers. Rin basically can't win.
It's really fun for me.
Good description.
And for all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think people really like it. All the fans are clamoring to hear the quiz-a-thon this week. Okay, pizza quiz-a-thon. What is the best pizza?
Thin, charred, sourdough crust pizza.
So the best pizza was when I was in high school. I was in Mexico for a senior trip that we took. Basically unchaperoned, 18-year-old Puerto Vallarta.
Mikey's told me this for all the years of our relationship, and I still don't believe that this was actually a thing that happened.
I mean, it definitely did happen. I have pictures and physical harm to show you. I have scars from it. And we were just allowed to kind of like do whatever we wanted. And one of the things, I don't remember the all the elements of it, like whether it was from the hotel or it was like a delivery service that was somehow the hotel told us about, but you could order this pizza and it would show up anywhere from 2 minutes to 2 hours after you ordered it. And it was the weirdest pizza. It was like this salty, it was like as if they took string cheese and just put it all over the top of the thing and then put like sliced deli ham on a pizza. That was like what their pizza was, but it was delicious. And we were drunk in 18, but we ordered it one time and all of us were hammered and 18. And we know that they delivered it like 2 minutes after we ordered it or 10 minutes after we ordered it, sometime very quickly, but we all went to sleep. And then we woke up in the morning, 6 to 7 hours after we had this pizza delivered onto our tile floor outside of our Puerto Vallarta hotel room. And
sounds then we warm.
All ate it. And it was so good and so disgusting, and none of us died.
Wow. That's impressive.
Best pizza. Okay, what is the smokiest pizza?
Pizza that would have been ordered inside of my sophomore year college dorm.
Nice.
Where we somehow
smoked cigarettes.
Gross.
Wow.
Disgusting.
There was one guy smoking a cigarette like a block and a half from our house yesterday on the street outside. It was windy. I smelled it like a shark smells one drop of blood. I was like,
do you remember how big our dorm rooms were?
I was like, it's 2023. Someone's smoking. Yeah. And
a dorm room means that your bed is in
there. And all your clothes and your books.
Sure.
Yep.
Yep.
Your homework.
Yep.
Your gerbil potentially.
Yeah.
That's the incorrect answer. Correct though. Disgusting. Smokiest pizza was Gino's Pizza, I think is what it was called. On the Commons in Ithaca, where we went to college. And it was a slice spot and it would be crazy, right? So I loved smoking Parliament Funkadelics, Parliament cigarettes. And I one time was dared to put my lit cigarette onto my pizza and eat it. Did it. Smokiest pizza. Okay, final question. Ugh. What is the most cost effective pizza? Sure.
One that someone else makes for you at their house that you don't have to pay for.
That's so good. Could be the correct answer, potentially. Totino's Party Pizzas. I just want to discuss Totino's. There was a time where I think they were 83 cents. I remember the number 83. Maybe they were 99, but I remember 83 cents per pizza. You could buy them at Tops. And you could get a pizza for less than a dollar. I mean, Totino's Party Crust or Party, is that what they're called? Totino's Party?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
What are you talking about right now?
I've never had Totino's. Nope.
GTFO. RN. It was I've eaten hundreds of them, maybe.
Oh, I've
they were
never
like
eaten one.
Paper thin crust, garbage toppings, like Lunchable toppings or whatever. But they were a dollar, basically.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Totino's Party Crust. We're going to go get one. They could be good. I'm not sure. I don't really remember.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah,
I don't ever want to eat that.
Okay. Well, you have
Thank
to.
Thank you.
It's for the show. It's for the research. My elitist wife. Okay. Well, so you lost that quiz, but we all lose that quiz, really.
Yes. You've all lost 40 minutes of time.
No. It's been 43 minutes, and they've gained a lot of knowledge on the show.
Yeah.
What do you want to tell them?
That my superhero name is still Picea.
Picea is super good. And mine is the crust name. What was that? Cornichon.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cornichon. A pickle crust.
Ooh.
Imagine that. Yeah, we love you guys. Mikey and Rin, eat in.
On the Instas.
At Mikey and Rin, MikeyAndRinne on all of the socials. Mm-hmm. Send us, if you have any thoughts, pizza thoughts, other thoughts.
Yeah. Let's eat at MikeyAndRinne.com.
We love you guys. We'll see you again next week on Mikey and Rin, Eat In.
Eat your pizza.
Ciao, ciao.